everybody, welcome to another episode of Warp, the Watch and Recap podcast, a side project from Movies Mayhem Soap. I'm your host, Chris, and thank you for joining us for our first recap for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, aka The Boys Are Back Again. It's the new MCU series, and you know, starring the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So yeah, before we get started, I just want to remind everyone that we do full of spoilers for the episode, as well as probably other MCU projects. So if you're not down with that, then maybe you should be. So episode one is entitled New World Order, and the synopsis is as follows. Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes realize that their futures are anything but normal. You might be wondering, who are these Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes characters? Well, I got news for you. We reveal all in this recap. Stick around. Okay, then we're back with the recap of the first episode, and I am joined, as usual, by Selena. How's it going?
Hi. Doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And Franco's mm-hmm. also with us.
Yes.
What's up, guys?
Not much, man.
Yeah, doing good. Mitzi couldn't be here today. She had some work stuff to do, but hopefully next week she'll join us for the next episode. I don't know if she watched it. I don't know if Franco, did you talk to her about this episode?
I didn't talk to her, honestly, because I just barely finished watching it, too, for the first time. Oh, so okay. I kind of fell behind a little bit on it. But yeah. But yeah. So I didn't get a chance to talk to her.
Okay, no problem. Well, hopefully
let's assume she watched it. Yeah, did her homework.
Let's assume. But what did you guys think of it, first of all?
I liked it.
It was really cool.
I'm already ready. I really liked it. It was a really good first episode. Mm-hmm. I think we started strong.
Yeah, exactly. Franco, what'd you think? Man, I know we lost you on WandaVision.
But. Yeah, on this one, I like it. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm definitely interested on one side of the story more than the other. But I'm definitely in on the show. I like it. It was like you guys are saying, it's a strong first episode. So I wasn't expecting it. So I'm glad it was. It was a strong.
Oh yeah,
strong.
Yeah.
Episode.
Same. I really liked it. I thought it was. The action was really good. The character development was really, or not even develop. Well, yeah, you kind of get a little more insight into their personal lives and stuff. So I really liked that. I thought it was really good. I know a big part of the appeal was supposed to be the dynamic between the two of them, but it was really interesting that they don't even meet in this first episode or. Interact in this
see each other
day. Yeah
yeah no yeah I was really oh, sorry I got a crossing thoughts
okay
no you know what, it's kind of funny going forward with some of these Marvel series. I feel like I need a little chart for who went away and who stuck around during the blip, because when they were talking about it, I was like, oh, that's right, he wasn't one of the ones that survived it.
Yeah.
For Falcon.
I think just overall the main six survived, but as for maybe like the more supporting characters, the non-costume characters, I have a hard time keeping track of that. Yeah. But sure. We'll start off with the first scene. It's Sam and he's getting dressed. He's in a suit and tie. He has the shield on his bed. He packs it up in the little case that he had it was given to him in by Captain America at the end of, or Steve Rogers at the end of Endgame, and there's some funeral vibe or vibes of like maybe he's going to a funeral. And yeah, it's like a really somber scene. And then we cut to this, I guess, a flashback of they're inside a cargo plane. Sam's talking to some military guys, and he's being briefed that a terrorist group called LAF is targeting a certain captain. And the guy who's briefing them says that they're high-powered. And I don't know if this group plays into anything later on, but that high-powered thing comes into play later with another group who is literally high-powered. Jumping ahead. And so he says that the U.S. military cannot be in Tunisian airspace, and so the Falcon's got to go in alone. And I'll probably go back and forth between calling him Sam or Falcon.
Fine. I also wanted to let listeners, Tunisia and Libya are right next to each other, and it was this thing of they could not cross into Libya air, right? Or they could not cross the Libya border,
right? Yeah,
yeah. Oh, real fast. Sorry to go back to that opening scene where Falcon is ironing, and because I watch with captions, you see Steve say something about, like,
that's right, I forgot to mention that.
It's the
moment where he gives him the shield, where he bestows it upon him.
It almost felt like somebody was in the room with him, though, when he was ironing. But maybe I saw what I wanted to see.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I guess because I recognized that scene, from the end of Endgame. Where he says, where he has Sam, hold up the shield, and he says, "How does it feel?" And he says, "Like it belongs to someone else." And Captain America says, "Well, it doesn't." And it's a beautiful moment. Yeah, that. So he's remembering.
I want to go back and watch it then, because I thought, But anyway, sorry. Continue.
No problem. But I guess it's good to make that distinction for listeners who maybe didn't catch on to that. Also, that's the verbatim the scene from the end of Endgame.
Infinity Words. Endgame.
Endgame.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Endgame here.
Sure. And then, they have...
It's all the same.
No, in a sense. Or, so they have Lieutenant Joaquim Torres is serving as the Falcon's liaison from the ground. And I saw on a video that this guy... So eventually, in the comic books, Sam Wilson does become the next Captain America. And so this guy, Joaquim Torres, becomes the next Falcon. So that's kind of cool. I don't know if that's going to happen in this series, but that's a pretty cool little setup. Maybe he will.
Yeah, maybe.
And then so Sam, he goes and checks on the plane, and he sees that the co-pilot's already dead. So he knows it's already been hijacked. And then we see Batroc, who is a mercenary who was in Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And he's played. I'm not too sure who the guy is. I think he's a UFC fighter. Is that correct?
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, awesome.
Do you know who plays him?
That's cool.
Yes, it's George St. Pierre.
George St. Pierre.
That's the name.
Ooh, pretty name.
Yeah. And if you remember in that scene from The Winter Soldier, he pretty much holds his own against Captain America. I don't remember what happened.
Oh, in the elevator?
No, it's in the very first scene where they hijack a ship, and then Captain America has to go, and he's with the Black Widow, and he finds out that basically the only reason they were sent was so Black Widow can steal some data from the computers or something. It's all just espionage type stuff. But he's the one who was hired to hijack that ship, and now he's hijacking a plane. And so... I think he's a comic book villain also, Batroc the Leaper, but I don't really know what his whole deal is, but maybe we'll get more into it as the series goes along. We'll see what his deal is.
Right.
And so, the Falcon's, he's got a drone, which in the comic books, it's an actual bird, but this time it's a drone called Red Wing, and it goes and it rips off the door to the side of the cargo bay. And Falcon enters and he starts fighting these dudes off, and the pilot is hit by a ricochet bullet. So the plane starts going down, and this part was weird. Knocks out Sam long enough for them to suit up, but they don't shoot him or throw him out of the plane. They get dressed, and as they're about to jump out, they start shooting at Sam again. Why didn't they just shoot him while he was down? I didn't get it. But and it's super quick, right? They'll just, like, 1 minute they're fighting, and the next minute they're wearing these glider suits or whatever.
Yeah.
but I guess you can't really slow it down to show them getting dressed.
Getting all because geared
of,
up.
Yeah, because of how fast-paced the scene plays out and stuff. But whatever, that was super weird to me. And then they these guys, the mercenaries, they jump out of the plane and they're just kind of having a free-falling chase through the canyon, which was kind of super risky because, like, those guys could just smack into a wall at any point. They really don't have too much, you know, they're at the whim of the wind and gravity, and they are just, you know, at any point they would have to pop their parachutes, and I don't know how that would work out, but it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool scene still, but it's kind of ridiculous. But whatever, it's fun, right? We all had a good time. And then,
yeah, go for it. Go ahead, Franco.
No, you know, just really quick, because, I mean, you're kind of right. Like, I mean, pointing it out, because, I mean, through that scene, you kind of even see them kind of wavering through their, like, the helicopters and everything. So you would think that, you know, the wind that would kind of like knock them out or anything. But no, these guys they seemed to get it together. So they were.
Yeah.
they were pretty good at
It was impressive. Using,
yeah, it was impressive. There you go.
Were you going to say, Selena?
No, I just thought it was a really good, the whole thing was a really good action sequence. Cause I was, you know what I mean? I was just like enthralled with what was going on.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, for sure. I was all like jumping, like every time, like there was a close call, it was pretty exciting. And then some helicopters show up and they start firing at Falcon and, the little drone Red Wing straight up just blows up these helicopters, killing the dudes on them. It was crazy. I think Sam even throws a few guys down the canyon too. Like it's kind of brushed over, but they're straight up killing dudes. Yeah. And so Batroc, he gets the captain guy into the helicopter and says that they have to reach the Libyan border so that, you know, the military won't follow them. And I thought he even said
Falcon can't come to the border. He's going to stop following us at the border.
Yeah, he said that he won't follow us over there or something like that. So that's a big plan. And yeah, sure enough, the military is kind of warning him not to get too close later on. And so right. Sam, he jumps into the helicopter and he turns as someone shoots at him and they shoot Red Wing. So now he doesn't have the drone to help him out anymore. So then Batroc escapes with the captain and they pretty much glide over into another helicopter. And then a third helicopter is shooting missiles at Sam, who this scene kind of reminded me of True Lies. It's not exactly the same thing that happened, but Sam flies through the side of the helicopter. I don't know. He flies through, grabs the captain, and then as the rockets are chasing him, they hit the helicopter where Batroc, he leaps out and escapes before the chopper explodes. So we will be seeing that guy again. And this all happens narrowly before they reach the border. Everyone's having a good time because they're all like, yeah, you did it, Sam. You beautiful bastard. And good stuff. And then so later on in an Arab market, Sam is repairing Red Wing. And, you know, some people come up to him. And this man, this couple comes up to him and he says that thanks to the Avengers, he has his wife back. Because presumably she was part of the blip, right? Mm-hmm. And Lieutenant Torres is there and he spots like a hidden graphic thing on his camera phone. And it's kind of like a red hand. And it's for a group called the Flag Smashers. It's a group that thinks that the world was better off during the blip. The Flag Smasher is a comic book villain I read. I don't know much about him, but I know it's a reference. And so I guess this group is going to be kind of representing him. I don't know. I don't know if he's superhuman because that kind of comes into play later also. And I also don't really know what their agenda is. I don't think it's really explained because the name Flag Smashers, it kind of sounds political, but I don't know what their deal is. Maybe we'll learn more later on about what they stand for or whatever. And so, yeah, right. And then
no, it's because I could swear. I don't see. I'm trying to think. What am I confusing it with? Because I was like, didn't somebody get captioned and admit that they were reactionary terrorists?
Maybe
I might be totally mashing it up with another TV show, but I could, I'm trying to think of what I'm thinking of.
Reactionary. I don't remember that exact phrase here in this episode, but it, I mean, okay. maybe I might've missed
it. Maybe it'll come to me later. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
No problem. And then, Lieutenant Torres is, hinting that Captain, he's talking about how Captain America is rumored to be on the moon. Which I guess tells the audience that nobody knows what happened to Captain America after the events of Endgame. They don't know that he went back in time and became an old man and all that.
Yeah.
And so then we cut back to, I guess, present day. Sorry,
real fast. No, but I thought Endgame, he did go back in time and we saw him being an old man where they were in present day. But we didn't see him die necessarily, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, and that's what... I think it's not public knowledge that Captain America went back in time or whatever. To the world, he just is MIA, I guess.
Also, for listeners, I don't know if anyone caught this or not, but I made a point to write it down that all of this taking place only a few months after people came back from the blip.
Right. I think it's still, I think I saw that it's still set a little bit before Spider-Man, the last one, Far From Home. Maybe like a month or two before it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so I guess we're kind of in the present day. I'm sorry.
I was ready. Spoiler alert. I was ready to be like, oh, you mean before Peter Parker got outed as Spider-Man?
How dare you? No, I was kidding. No, that's spoiler. The end of that movie that came out a few years ago, right? At this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And then continue.
And then, so the event that Sam was getting ready for is ironing his suit and, getting the shield ready. It's at the Smithsonian and he's donating the shield to the Captain America exhibit that they have there. That was also shown for the first time in Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And there in the audience, we see James Rhodes. Rhodey is there. AKA War Machine Don Cheadle. Hell yeah, man. And, Sam's donating the shield and he clearly doesn't think that he can follow Steve Rogers' legacy, and there's this one dude who I think is the president. I'm not too sure who the guy is, but he's thanking Sam for giving them the shield, and he says he did the right thing. And later on in the Captain America exhibit, Rhodes is asking Sam why he didn't take the mantle, and he's saying that Steve was the only one who could do it. And Rhodes says that people are looking for hope and for someone to fix the world. And then he leaves to go star in his own series, which is coming up. I don't know if you guys know, Rhodey's gonna get a series also. Armor.
Really?
Yeah. Armor Wars. Oh. It's gonna be I think about competitive markets stealing Iron Man tech or something like that.
So, oh wow.
Yeah, it's gonna be stuff like that. Yeah. So he goes,
I was going to say real fast. I don't think we'll see him in this one for sure, but did RDJ say he's not going to be in any more Marvel projects? Cause I was like, oh, he could be in that one.
That would make kind of some sense. I'm sure he would have some video messages. I think I read recently
that he said that probably the littlest cameo.
Yeah. I think I read recently that he said that he wouldn't be opposed to coming back in some sense, but
okay.
I don't know if he will, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
I know. Don't hold your breath. Just
Maybe in the Armor Wars, maybe they'll have some flashbacks with him and Rhodes. Maybe why not?
And you know what? Like just really quick. I don't know if you guys kind of feel the same, but like in this scene, like I guess when with Sam kind of giving away the shield, I don't know. Like I felt kind of. It kind of threw me off a little bit because, I mean, of course, he kind of knows what the shield signifies, mm-hmm. but at the same time, he knows that it's like a valuable weapon, you know, in a way. Like, right. I mean, so mm-hmm. for him to kind of give it to a museum, that kind of like threw me off a little bit, because it's kind of like, okay, you're giving away this valuable piece of like a weapon in a sense, mm-hmm. to just kind of put it out there for the world in a sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it kind of, I don't know. Like, I was just kind of like, more than anything, I was just kind of curious about it. Like, I was just like, I don't know if I would, that's the smartest choice to do.
Well, yeah. Sorry. Go for it. It's Selena.
No, I agree with you about it. It's probably not the smartest choice that such a great weapon is encased in a museum. However, mm-hmm. you could kind of see, like, because in the beginning you kind of saw, like, he really feels that shield should not be with him. So mm-hmm. if he can't own that, and it's like, if he's not using it, no one else should use it either. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, yeah, encased in a museum. All right, let's commemorate my friend.
Yeah.
But you are very true in the fact that shit can get stolen and it can get weaponized for evil. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah, I guess I didn't think about it being stolen, but I kind of figured that he thought giving it to a museum was kind of like a neutral kind of thing. He wasn't giving it to someone to use it as a weapon. It was just going to be a display, and that no one would be using it, I guess. Was his line of thinking. So it kind of made sense to me. He kind of just figured he was going to retire it because Steve was retired and he didn't think anyone really deserved it. So it belonged
with... Not even himself.
Yeah, exactly. Not even himself. And so it belonged with the rest of Steve's memorabilia, artifacts and all that stuff. You know, that's the way I saw it. So it kind of didn't seem mm-hmm. too unusual for me, but yeah, I can see how you would think that. Like, yeah, you would probably personally. I would probably want to hold on to it, at least for sentimental value. But
because, well, yeah, we see later what happens with it.
Oh man, yeah, I know that was upsetting. But we'll
I think more than anything, I think for me it was that it was just like is yeah. I mean, I can go with it and play with the whole kind of like the. Kind of like you were saying, like the sentimental angle of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, mm-hmm. down with it. But then at the same time, I'll be like, well, shit, I would feel it. Like, you know what I mean? I was just like, it's cool. Because at this point, it kind of seems like it's known.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's known that it's this awesome shield. So it's like mm-hmm. the world knows mm-hmm. who Captain America was and what the shield means. So,
it's made of vibranium, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, the whole scene was cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, it was more than anything. It was just that I was just like, well, shit, what if somebody steals it? But
yeah, I was just glad that it wasn't a funeral. I was kind of like thinking it was definitely going to be a funeral scene, and I'm glad it wasn't. but yeah, no, it kind of made sense to me. It belongs to the world. So he wants to give it to a museum. Yeah. What's up?
No, yeah, no. Fun fact: for the funeral scene at the end of Infinity Wars, they told Tom Holland he was going to a wedding. I'm sorry, when you said that, it just made me think of that. Oh yeah, Tom Holland didn't know it was going to be a funeral scene.
No, yeah, you can't trust that guy for anything.
Exactly, listeners. For those of you who don't know, apparently Tom Holland and Mark Ruffalo were horrible with spoilers during press. Over the years, so they're not to be trusted.
They mostly give a hard time to Tom Holland, though. I always forget about the
because there was so many incidents with Mark Ruffalo. It was just one or two things that he revealed.
Yeah, but
sorry. Go back to Falcon.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure culture. It's always hard to keep track of stuff. But yeah, we cut to a European hotel. And there's some shady looking dudes in the lobby, and they start getting they're taken out by the Winter Soldier, and it's Bucky with long hair again. So that's how you kind of know it's a flashback, because lately I'm sorry.
I like his Winter Soldier look.
Oh no, I like his shorter hair look, but yeah, lately he's sporting a closer cut dude, mm-hmm. and so he wipes out all these dudes. And there's some poor kid who's trying to get into his room, and he keeps fumbling with the key, and he's just stuck in the hall, and he's a witness, and
a Winter Soldier
goes over and just blows him away, man. And, you know, terminates him. And that's when Bucky wakes up from a nightmare. And it's, you know, Bucky, present day Bucky. And
Did you notice he was just sleeping on the floor with like a blanket and a pillow?
Yeah.
Like, definitely experiencing PTSD.
Mm-hmm. It was, I saw in the Easter egg video that they referenced a scene in The Winter Soldier where Steve and Sam are talking about how once they got back from war, that sleeping on a bed felt like sleeping on a marshmallow. So I think it's kind of Bucky still kind of not adjusting. He hasn't adjusted to not being a soldier yet.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. But no, at first, to be honest, I didn't really pay much attention to it until I saw the video, and then I saw it again for my notes, and I was like, oh yeah, that did happen. And then so next we see Bucky in a therapy session, and his shrink is asking him about his nightmares, and she says that this counseling is a condition of his pardon, because as we remember from the Winter Soldier and Civil War, he's basically a fugitive, and they pardon him, and they want to be sure that he won't snap or revert to his old mind
assassin ways.
Yeah, his old ways. Yeah. And so he has a list of names that he says he's making amends, and we see brief flashbacks, and one of them is called Senator Atwood is a woman who gained power through his actions with Hydra, and he says that he provided evidence to get her arrested, and then but he kind of sends her off with a final FU before the FBI or whoever swarms in to arrest her, and he has some rules that are established by a shrink. He can't do anything illegal. The second rule is nobody gets hurt. And the third rule is, I guess, he has to kind of confront them and establish, you know, that he is no longer the Winter Soldier and that he is making amends. He kind of, it's kind of a final FU to these people who I guess benefited from his role as the Winter Soldier.
Hydra.
Yeah, who used him for evil purposes. And So the whole scene there is the senator is in her car, and he kind of, I guess, he hijacks control of it. So he kind of just like drives it around the parking lot to where he is and stalls it. And then he punches out the guy next to her. I don't know who the hell that guy is. And he just tells her, you know, that he's out of the game. And then he leaves before the goon squad gets there. And the shrink checks his phone, and she sees that he's been avoiding Sam, not returning his texts, and she tells him that he needs to nurture friendships, otherwise, you know, being alone is going to be really difficult. And he mentions Wakanda. He says that was a calm for him, because that was when he finally was able to stop running, stop fighting, I guess he kind of longs for that. Again, he wants to get that, but also restore a sense of normalcy by living a normal life in the U.S., I guess. Not that Wakanda is not a normal thing, but, you know, where he grew up.
It's a kingdom.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's not normal, but in a good way. Like, it's just, like, too advanced for
it's
us.
It's better than our Earth.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
When they do briefly show his list of people that he has to make quote unquote amends with, you see that Zemo is on his list of amends, which is the bad guy from Civil War, the guy who kind of triggered all the events. He used the videotape of Bucky killing
that dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
For listeners who might not remember, there was a surveillance footage of, not surveillance, security footage of Bucky killing Tony Stark's parents outside of some facility. And he used that.
When he was under Hydra mind control.
Right. Yes. That's important. An important thing to consider. Used that to get Captain. No, sorry. Who's the other one? Iron Man.
Iron Man?
to. Who's that other guy? The guy in the fancy suit. He used it to make them clash, and they fought, and he broke up the team.
That
he tore
apart
the team.
Made me so sad.
Oh man, I
know.
Yeah,
he did.
It's so terrible. I felt awful.
Yeah, it was just yeah. Anyway.
So that guy, he's on the list, Zemo. And there's a bunch of other, there's a few other characters that might be either references to other comic book characters or comic book creators. I doubt any of them are as important as Zemo being on the list. So we're gonna see that guy again, who's mm-hmm. played by I can't even remember.
Daniel
Brühl from Inglourious Bastards. Yeah. He was the Nation's Pride guy, the assassin guy.
Oh, that's right. The actor who played himself.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
He,
oh, I love that movie.
He was
movie.
A sharpshooter or something that took out so many American soldiers
sniper.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that guy. Yeah. We cut to a scene later on where Bucky is hanging out with Mr. Nakajima, who is an older Asian gentleman. And they go out to lunch. And at first, I thought...
And it's a weekly thing. Yeah.
Yeah, every Wednesday, they go out to lunch. And at first, I thought, well, I wonder if this was a guy that Bucky knows from the war. You know, maybe that's how they know each other. And they go to the sushi restaurant, and he pushes Bucky to ask to make a date with their server. And, you know, she says yes. And Mr. Nakajima... he sees some, I forget how to say it, mochi? Does anyone
mochi?
Know? Mochi. Yeah, mochi? I don't know. Those little things, they're delicious. I don't know how to say them, but they're
yeah,
great.
Mochi. Yeah,
mochi. And he sees one and he remembers that it's his son's favorite. And he talks about how his son was killed abroad and that the police said he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he says that he just wishes he could know what happened to his son. And then Bucky kind of...
Yeah, that something tells him that's not the way it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny how people, like, in life have a sixth sense for stuff like that.
Yeah, that's something... There's something more to... than is being revealed. And
right.
Bucky kind of looks away, and he looks kind of remorseful about it. And yeah, that's you kind of get the hint that's the kid we saw in the hotel who was the witness, wrong place, wrong time, and yeah, it sucks. So yeah, they're probably not war buddies. They're kind of just hanging out because Bucky knows what he did to this man and what he took away from him.
Yeah.
And in we cut to Delacroix, Louisiana, Louisiana, and Sam is visiting his sister Sarah and her two nephews, and they call him Uncle Sam, which is a very patriotic term. So maybe Sam's maybe it's a hint that Sam really is gonna pursue the Captain America title. And we know that they all three of his family members survived the blip. Because he's remarks earlier about how his nephews are now little men from the last time he saw them. And she talks also about how much she struggled during that time without him. And we see that they have a shrimp boat that was handed down from their parents. And we know business is struggling, and the sister Sarah doesn't want to. She wants to sell it, but Sam doesn't want to because it's their legacy. It was handed down to them by their parents, and you know, he's trying to convince Sarah to go and get a loan, and that he'll help. And she's very reluctant, but she agrees. So on Bucky's date, he goes to the restaurant the sushi restaurant, and he brings I don't even think she has a name, right? Does she? I don't know. He brings the girl flowers.
So. Oh, the girl?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. All right. Well, he gives her some flowers.
I got it. Yeah, keep going. I'll find it.
Sure. And, you know, she's asking him a bunch of questions. She's trying to get to know him. Specifically, she asks him about his gloves because obviously, if listeners might not remember, he has one metal arm. And I think it's made of vibranium also, actually. And he says that he has poor circulation. And she just kind of laughs it off. And she asks him his age, and he says 106. And then she just at one point she says he sounds like her dad.
That's right. Her name's Leia.
Leia. I don't think they said it in the show. Mm-hmm. Maybe she'll come back. Maybe we'll learn her name in future episodes.
Yeah.
But she seems very nice. And so she suggests that they play Battleship. And as she goes to, I guess, close down the rest of the bar, there's this little waving cat thing, which I don't know if you guys have ever seen those. I think I read somewhere one time that they're waving away bad luck, and so that they're actually good luck. So Bucky tries to stop the arm, but then it keeps on going. So I guess that's a sign that good things are going to come his way. I don't know if it had any sort of significance, but I was just like, oh yeah, I think that's what those cats are for. It's to wave away bad spirits or whatever. And so Leia is she's making small talk, and she's she says that he's sweet for spending time with Yuri, which is Mr. Nakajima, and you know, she's talking about how he's had a hard time after his son died, and she says that, you know, that widow, they have a name for widowers, that when you lose your spouse, you become a widower. When you lose your parents, you become an orphan. But there's no name for someone whose kids die, because it's the worst thing that can happen. And I guess Bucky's just, he's wrought with guilt, so he pretty much just walks out on the date, which is pretty unfortunate. And
I thought that was so
I know, right? You wanted him to get some, right? Get some sushi.
it was just kind of baffled me, like, holy shit, he's just leaving the date? Wow.
Yeah, he just storms out. But it kind of seems like he's gonna go confess, right? Because he shows up at Mr. Nakajima's house or apartment, and he sees like this a shrine, like kind of a monument to the sun, and he sees the photo of the kid that was in that European hotel. And he sees it and he leaves. He just says, like, oh, I owed you for lunch. And so he gives him some money. And I don't know if it was at this part, but we do see that there is a... So I got the impression that Bucky has two lists of people he has to make amends with. The people that, benefited from his wrongdoings. And he wants to, like, get revenge on them. And then there's another list of people who I think he... harmed in some way or took away something from, that he has to make legitimate amends with. And I don't think any of the names on that list were checked off. I didn't really see who else might have been on that list, but I think he has two lists, basically. The ones that he's actually regretful of and the ones that he will kind of make pay.
Right.
And then so there's a scene where... not much happens in this scene, actually, but I'll get through it. Sam and Sarah are prepping plates that they're going to sell as a little side business. And he's rushing her to get to the bank, and she's all like, I thought we had to be there this time. And he says, there's no such thing as on time. You're either early or you're late. Pick one. And like I said, nothing really happens in the scene, but it's a nice little family moment. And I like seeing the other side of the coin. Like, I like seeing their personal lives. You get more in depth of these characters, and you just care for their relationships and stuff. I liked seeing these, like I said, with WandaVision, it's these nice little human moments that kind of make these characters stronger, instead of just... Although the costume stuff is fun and cool and stuff, but it's nice knowing that they're human. And so we cut to a scene in Switzerland where Lieutenant Torres is infiltrating a flag smasher meeting, and he is following the icons on his phone camera again, our camera phone. And a woman starts handing out masks in the street, and it's like this black mask with just the eye holes and like a red hand print over it, and alarms start going off in the bank that's behind them, and a man leaps from the second or third floor, and he just lands very effortlessly, and he's carrying these two large bags, and he hands off the bags to some other people, and they run off. And then this guy, who presumably is the leader, he also has long hair, Selena, so I'm sure you're digging that.
Oh my god!
He kicks a cop across the street, so we know that he's like powerful. And Lieutenant Torres tries to arrest him, and he gets stomped down. Which I thought this guy was gonna straight up die, but no, he didn't.
I know. Oh.
Right? It looked pretty. Go for it.
Because you're kind of right. I mean, you know, he did kick a cop across the street, yeah. And then he stomped this guy's face, and all he did was kind of spar him. So,
yeah,
I was kind of surprised.
He didn't really like, he just injured him. He didn't like leave him for dead. He didn't really kill him. So I was like,
So maybe they're not murderers. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I still kind of don't understand. So they're not really a terrorist group because they're robbing a bank. They would just want the money. I think terrorists usually want to send a message of some sort. So we still don't know what the hell these guys are up to, or even who this leader is. So there's some mystery there. But hear me out, guys. It might be Jean Grey, right?
Oh, that's right. You were hoping Jean Grey was going to come out in WandaVision.
Yep, was one of my far-fetched theories, and I'm going to keep pushing it on this one.
Jean Grey's just going to travel through all the Marvel.
All I know is it's either going to be Jean Grey or Ralph Boner. I don't know. I know which one I'm hoping for.
Why'd you have to say that name?
Boner. And then
Beatrice Rage.
Yeah, I know. But I really don't think this guy, whoever he is, I don't think it's gonna be a big reveal. I don't know. Then at one point I did kind of wonder if it was Zemo, the guy from Civil War. It maybe after 5 years he grew his hair, but I don't know. I don't think it looked like
him. No, I don't think he'd be part of an organization like that.
Yeah, you're right, because I think even in Civil War he says that he wants to get rid of superpowered people. Mm-hmm. I think he says something like that. I want there to be less of you, I think he says something like that. So I don't think he would get superpowers. So yeah, let's rule that out. Jean Grey it is. And
I'm thinking it's probably gonna be one of those just like a sideline kind of storyline, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just something to keep it going.
Yeah.
Kind of
A word, I guess you want to put it that way. Mm. And a vision, you know, just something.
I totally figured out where I got the reactionary terrorist from.
What's up?
Justice League. When Gal Gadot is questioning one of the dudes. Sorry.
One of the bank robbers?
Yeah, wasn't it? Yeah, well, in that scene where she saves the students that are on a field trip. Remember, she gets one and asks what they're doing with the lapse of truth. Yeah, okay.
I don't remember.
Sorry,
that
listeners, line. That's I'm mashing up franchises here.
How dare you? But at least you figured it out.
And we'll see the Joker in this one too.
Don't even tomorrow we're doing our review of that one.
Right.
So then
back to Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. So back in Louisiana, in a bank, the loan coordinator, he recognizes Sam, and you know, he's asking him all these questions about the Avengers and how Avengers make money, and apparently they don't, which was kind of a surprising thing. I guess Stark must have funded them, you know, provided them a headquarters, but they were not on any sort of payroll, which I guess kind of sucks.
Remember he said. No, I know, but remember he said that because they're providing a service, people did donate to their cause.
Yeah, they lived on. I thought that's what he said. Yeah. He did, but that's not really a steady income. That's just like.
They didn't have a salary or anything like that.
Yeah, and which is kind of you know it's a conflict with the bank. They're leaning towards not giving him the loan, and actually you know in the end they don't give him the loan. Because Sam has no income over the last 5 years, but that's because he was a victim of the blip. He was gone. He didn't exist. And, the banker kind of suggests that the blip changed the situation once all these people came back. So I guess they had to, I don't know, account.
Tighten, yeah, as he said.
Account for all the, tighten up regulations and stuff. And they just can't be approved. And, you know, I keep calling her Sister Sarah. Sarah, just, you know, she comments on how it kind of just seems like regulations always seem to tighten up around, you know, black people. And
yeah,
yeah, it's kind of a sad commentary, but it's true also. It's, yeah. I'm sure that's not the reason why it's happening here, because, you know, the guy doesn't seem to be prejudiced or anything, but yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. And I'm sure we will see more of that kind of struggle later on. And so outside the bank, Sarah, you know, she's talking about how resenting Sam for leaving for the Air Force and, you know, being gone, saving the world, and that he hasn't been there and he hasn't had to deal with everything and struggle like she did to keep, I guess, the family together, to keep the business afloat. And, yeah, it's very telling of this scene that he wants to hold on to. He wants to hold on to the past, and that legacy is a big deal for him. And yeah, I think that's why he couldn't accept taking on the mantle of Captain America, because it just wasn't his, you know. It didn't feel right for him to be given it. And so later on, Lieutenant Doris contacts Sam with the cell phone footage that he took of the Flag Smashers meeting. And Sam asks if there was anything that happened that wasn't on the video. And Lieutenant Doris says something like, "You don't think it could have been a..." And then it kind of trails off, and Sam just cuts him off and just says, "No, we'll talk about this later." And that was kind of weird, because I didn't know what he was talking about. Like, could it have been a robot, a god, a sorcerer, an alien, or a mutant, dare I say? No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to keep throwing that out there. It's Jean Grey, guys. No, yeah, I really couldn't think of what the end of that sentence was, but I guess we'll kind of get hinted at it in later episodes. Because when it rains, it pours, right after that conversation ends, Sarah comes in and turns on the TV to the news, and it's the, I don't know if it's the president, it's the same guy from the Smithsonian event where Sam gave the shield, the one who said that Sam did the right thing donating the shield. That guy is making an announcement about a hero that's going to defend the country.
And we need a symbol of hope.
Which is weird, because the Sokovia Accords kind of wanted to establish that the heroes didn't work for a specific company. I don't know for listeners who might not remember, the Sokovia Accords were established in the Civil War movie. It's essentially making it so that superheroes were accountable for their actions and didn't necessarily represent one nation or whatever. And also, if we're not forgetting, in Iron Man 3, there was the Iron Patriot, who was basically War Machine with a paint job. And yeah, he was red, white, and blue, and that didn't work out too well, because what happened? Some other guy stole the suit, right? So some guy with that was working with Guy Pearce stole the suit and tried to kill the president. But I don't know. Apparently, this is the way to go. Let's just get another patriotic superhero.
I was ready to be like, "This is the way," but that's another Disney Plus show.
Yeah, you're confusing your franchises here, Selena. Come on, get with it.
No, I purposely said that. Continue.
Okay. And so the and I'm pretty sure it's the president. The president he introduces your new Captain America, and this guy comes down out of the building, and it looks like, I don't know if you guys saw it. It looks
and
like
it's Will Schuster.
Will Schuster.
For people who watched Glee, it's Will Schuster. Yeah, Matthew, what's the actor's name? Matthew.
Wyatt Russell? Yeah.
Hang on.
Okay. Anyways.
I'm like, no, it was supposed to be. Hold on.
Wyatt Russell. He's Kurt Russell's son, who looks awful without a beard, I might add. Right? He just had this weird-looking face.
Yeah.
Do we know what?
Oh.
Well, anyways.
She's fracked.
He comes on the stairs, and before you see his face, I thought I could have sworn I saw that he has a gun on his hip, like I don't know, and I was just like, nope, I already don't like this. This guy has a gun. This is not
Captain America. He had a gun on his hip.
It looked like
I totally missed that.
Oh yeah.
By the way, listeners, totally disregard what I said about Will Schuster.
who is Will Schuster? I have to know this now.
No, it's because of something that I saw on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if they were just comparing the two actors, but somebody on Twitter wrote that it was Will Schuster that is the new Captain America. And the thing is, Will Schuster is the teacher on Glee. Like, that's the character's name.
Oh.
yeah, that's why. And I was like, oh, and it kind of looks like him too with the mask on. But yeah, apparently it's Wyatt Russell.
Unfollow this person on Twitter. I don't trust them. I don't like it.
I don't think I was following them. I think it just came up in my feed because of all, you know, the Marvel talk we do.
Call them out right now. Who is it? So-and-so, you fucked up. Unfollowed. Yeah. So this guy he's holding the shield, the one that Sam gave to the museum because he didn't want it to he didn't want anyone else to have it, really. And he kind of sighs.
And when you see that, yeah, you're like, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a man, because I don't think they'll get into it too much, but yeah, it might be a race thing. Which is awful. I hate it, but I don't think Disney will lean into it, but it's definitely kind of, it's there. Like, it's in the back of all our minds. Just like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't like it, but...
I don't like it either.
It could also just be that this guy, he's more willing to play ball than Falcon was, because Falcon was, he was on, which side was he on in Civil War? He was against the Civil Record, the Sokovian Accords, right?
Yeah, he was on Captain America's side, right, and yeah. Iron Man was kind of fighting for the government that right. one.
Exactly. So that's probably why they're kind of like, well, maybe Falcon shouldn't have the shield. Maybe it shouldn't be this guy. But also, I'm pretty sure it's because he's not white. And not that I'm saying I support this, but I think I don't know. I think this is a big part of why it's going to be kind of.
I hope they don't go that route, though.
Oh man, I hope not too. But it would be kind of an interesting dynamic in a way. I don't think they'll lean on it too heavily.
Right.
And so the imposter guy, he looks into the camera and he winks, and I hate him already. And then cuts to credits.
He's not Captain America. He's not our Captain America.
He's not even Will Schuster, man. He's not. I don't. And like I said, I'm pretty sure he has a gun. I just don't like it at all. And I
don't like it either.
I don't like that they went behind Bucky. Sorry, not Bucky's back. Sam's back.
Sam.
Yeah, I don't like it. But
yep.
If we've seen, I don't know if you all have seen promotional trailers for this, there's scenes later on where Bucky and Sam have the shield back, so I don't know what happens there. Yeah, hopefully it falls into the right hands.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited. I guess I should have mentioned that. The character name, John something, I forgot what his name is, who becomes the next Captain America. In the comic books, he's actually a character called U.S. Agent, and he is kind of a power-mad Captain America. So this guy might become a villain, and I don't think they've established yet if he has superhuman strength or super soldier strength like Captain America. But I think in the comic books, yeah, he's supposed to be stronger than Captain America, which is kind of scary.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens with this guy. Keep an eye on him.
Right.
But yeah, I'm super excited for the next episode. I love the action, the backstories that they're developing for these characters. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I like it. I'm really curious to see if they do go to Wakanda. Remember I told you, like, that's the only thing I'm really, like, I hope they go to Wakanda.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, it seems like it's going to be kind of an international border hopping kind of thing.
Yeah, you get that vibe. And then also, I'm kind of curious about these Flag Smashers people.
Yeah.
Now I'm more curious about it.
Mm-hmm. So that's about it. Does anyone have any final words before we go ahead and wrap things up?
Yeah. No, it was kind of like saying the same thing. Like, I mean, I really liked it. Kind of like I was telling you guys at the beginning, for some reason, I'm, I guess, a little bit more attracted towards Bucky's story than Sam's. Mm. Maybe Sam's, I don't know. Yeah, I think Sam's just looks very, I mean, I don't want to sound too messed up, but like his backstory sounds a little bit too familiar or like common already.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like with this, like, you know, with the struggling, you know, like business and like him, it was a little bit more like guilt, like his own guilt of him not wanting to be like stepping up to be Captain America.
Right.
And like Bucky, well, I mean, with Bucky was kind of like out of his hands. So he's trying to make amends for like, kind of like we were saying, so like for all the bad people that took advantage of him and for the good people that he kind of hurt. So I'm kind of more interested in that, like in that story. I think I feel that story is more complex than Sam's. But I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, I think what the dynamic of the show is going to, once they both get together, is going to be pretty cool. So,
yeah.
So I'm excited for the show. But yeah, like, I mean, yeah, I guess, like we were saying, it's a strong first episode. But yeah, I wanted to see a little bit more of Bucky than Sam. Right. I feel like we got a lot of Sam and not enough of Bucky.
We did. It might be a trade-off. I did, like I said before, I really liked seeing Sam's home life. Like you say, it's a little familiar, but I feel like it's helping make the character more relatable. And I feel like I can understand about how he feels pressured to take on the mantle and how he kind of doesn't want to step up or doesn't feel like he deserves it. So I kind of feel like that's an interesting, the reluctant hero in a sense. I mean, he's already a hero, but he's still kind of going to be a reluctant hero in a way. And then Bucky is the other side where he's trying to redeem himself and you know, prove to the world, I guess, that he's a good guy, he's a good person, and that he wouldn't have done the things that he wanted. So they're both really interesting, but I don't know. I think Sam's story is just making him more relatable. I think it's going to build up in that sense. But yeah, I think they're both really compelling storylines, and yeah, I can't wait to see these guys get together for the first time and just kind of just bash missions. Each other. Yeah, they just be talking smack to each other. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Selena, anything you're looking forward to seeing?
Besides possible Wakanda.
Right.
No, it's kind of what you're saying. Like, I'm curious to see what adventures they go on and the Flag Smashers. I'm not holding my breath. I think it would be cool if we did get a little cameo of Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
Of Chris Evans, Captain America.
Right, yeah, instead of
the only Wyatt Captain Russell. America.
The only one. Until Bucky, Sam steps up. I think, in my defense, I think both of them have been Captain America in the comics.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but yeah, at least I wouldn't be opposed. The only thing that I think is odd, not odd, but I don't know how they'll explain it, but you know, I don't know if Sam can be, is he going to gain super strength? Is he going to get the super soldier serum? I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. I guess there's some sort of superhuman element out there, and maybe he will get exposed to it. But I think that's going to be kind of the hardest thing to explain. I don't know if in the comics he does get superhuman strength also. But I'm definitely excited to see him step into this role. Yeah, I think he's a good man, and he deserves it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch her give it to Bucky.
That one, yeah. At the end, he's just gonna be like, "Here, you deserve
after
this."
After all this. Yes.
After all this, and then they're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, the new Captain America."
I don't know. It could. It could be a fake out, just like in WandaVision. Yeah. Just so many yeah. fake outs. But all right, cool. I'm excited for next week, and I hope you guys join me again. Hopefully, Mitzi will be here also. And that's about it. Any shout outs you want to give before we go?
I know who he's gonna shout out to.
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to that journeyman.
Hey,
my journey, George. Hopefully, he's finding his soul or whatever it is he's looking for.
Yeah, he's on the latest episode of 30 something. He talks about check it out. He talks about all the things he's been up to. It's interesting. Yeah, how he's trying to cleanse his soul and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. And before we go, I want to say also tomorrow we're going to be recording our Justice League review with the guys from Watchtower, the Watchtower podcast. And if you all want to join in, Zack Snyder's Justice League, join in and give in your 2 cents. That's more than welcome. It's our big crossover team up episode. So we're trying to get a bunch of opinions and or perspectives. And
I'll just give a shout out to all our beautiful listeners. Mm-hmm. Please keep listening to the podcast.
You were telling me last time that no one ever asked you what name you said, right? For Pietro.
A few friends are listening to it. I don't think they've gotten to that episode yet.
Oh.
So I know that. But yeah, no one still asked me like, "Hey, what name did you say?"
Yeah, no one's asked me either. No one cares.
But again, I know people have listened. They're just not at that episode yet.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't get that far into the episode. Maybe they stopped once our review was over. Hopefully people are listening this far also. But cool. Thank you guys as always for joining me in this, and I will see you next week. All right. Bye guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.